Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
There's that, at least, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got something horror-related to talk to today. Talk about today.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, anyways. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Kyle. The other guy is Manny. Hit that subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already. If you have, thank you very much. And check out all the other great content we have here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network. Stuff for Marvel, stuff for Star Wars, lots of anime content, anime reactions. You want to go see Christine and I not cry over something apparently a lot of people cried over? Check out our Oshinoko episode 1, part 2 reaction. Now check out both parts. That's that. Oh, lrmonline.com and the LRM YouTube channel. There. Now we're done with the housekeeping, plugging, and all of that. Manny, it's Friday, man, and I know you usually fill your weekend with some movies. What's on your agenda, man?
Renfield is on my agenda this weekend. That's the main one.
So, are you actually excited for it or just curious?
Nah, excited. Okay. We love Nicolas Cage because we know it's either going to be a masterpiece or a car wreck. And regardless of which one it is, it's going to be satisfying.
Well, mm-hmm. It's kind of funny that you bring up seeing Renfield, because that actually leads to our first story. So Universal, who is doing the movie Renfield and did the recent Invisible Man movie, we know they've been trying to, you know, revitalize their monster universe. You know, they tried twice to get it off the ground. Dracula, what, Untold or something like that, and then Tom Cruise Mummy, both of those kind of flopped, so they went with something a little different, where they're just like, hey, we're gonna make a bunch of stuff. It may or may not be connected down the road.
Yeah.
Which is honestly the better idea. So here's the thing. The group behind the recent Scream films, known as Radio Silence, made up of Matt Bettolini Ulpin, Tyler Gillett, they're going to be directing a untitled film right now. And this is according to Deadline, a script written by Stephen Shields, at once allegedly titled The Daughter of Dracula. No tell on whether or not this would be related to the original Daughter of Dracula or maybe connected to Nick Cage's Renfield. But I know you were a big fan of the Scream movies, and here's a chance where we might get some connectivity for this monsters universe. If it ends up being that way, how do you feel about that group tackling a classic Universal, allegedly classic Universal monster?
I really doubt that it's going to be connected to Renfield. I think that's a standalone story. Like 100% sure it won't be. Because Renfield is more about the aid really than the actual character of Dracula.
I'm just reading it the way stuff was written.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no. It shouldn't. It won't be. It's cool, man. Like, the classic monsters are classic for a reason. They do still bring interest. I mean, when Benicio del Toro did Wolfman, that was actually pretty cool, pretty fun. I honestly, I thought the last Invisible Man was terrible just because of how tech they made it. It's like it doesn't need to be that. We need to be in disbelief. Like, you don't have to try and make a justification for everything, because then it made it really weird when you got paint smeared on it and somehow you're able to get it all off. If you suspend disbelief, then you need better do it the entire way through. They're classic for a reason. They're fun. I mean, that's Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dracula, and I honestly don't really know what's so difficult about bringing that back to life. I don't know if maybe they just get way too ambitious. I am still kind of upset about that entire thing with the Dark Universe.
Yeah,
that they were going to create, because they had
need that though. I don't need Frankenstein's monster and Dracula to team up except in Scooby-Doo cartoons or Monster Squad. That's about it.
they had such good casting for everyone. That's kind of where I'm at with that. I did want to see those actors play those characters, and so it's a shame that The Mummy was really, really bad.
and that's where
everybody found out how that campy version of The Mummy was actually one of the best things that we ever got.
Oh man, Brendan Fraser's first Mummy is great. That's a solid classic adventure movie. That to me is it's not as great or as when I say timeless, I mean that anyone of any generation can really enjoy Fraser's version of it. So it's timeless in the likes of the original Ghostbusters, Back to the Future. Solid action adventure film. If you've not seen Brendan Fraser's version of The Mummy with Rachel Weisz, go see it. The second one is the least offensive of the sequels, but still, just stick with the first one.
The second one's fine.
It's okay.
The third one doesn't exist.
The third one doesn't exist. Scorpion King and its sequels don't exist.
Scorpion King doesn't really count. That's not really The Mummy.
So just that first one's great though. Anyways.
First and second one, you know, because I do like the besides the Scorpion King part of it, the rest of The Mummy, the sequel is actually pretty much in line, I feel, to the other one, especially because the kid, I thought he was really fun. I don't know what direction they're gonna take with it, and it's just. Everybody tried so hard a couple of years ago to be Marvel, and it ruined so many franchises.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2023, everyone's realizing that you don't need to be Marvel.
You don't need to. Not everything requires an interconnected universe. Like I said, I don't need Frankenstein's monster and Dracula teaming up for anything
need those stories. Just tell me the damn story. Because the Frankenstein story is a very, very good story.
Yeah.
Dracula has a very interesting story. Yeah. We've been reading the classic Dracula.
And we still don't have a solid modern take on the creature, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's a lot that could be done there. It's cool, like, that they're gonna be trying it again. Hopefully they get it. Like, and it's weird because, like, these are the same people that. Oh wait, no, that's not them. That's WB. Never mind. I was gonna say that they're the same people that figured out The Conjuring, and it's like, no, that's the Rock Studios. They're next door. It's cool. give me more of that. We even go in the theaters when they have the special screenings for Bride of Frankenstein,
yeah,
and stuff like that from the classic eras, the 30s or whatever. We go and watch them because they're I mean, yeah, they're not the greatest films, but they hold up as history in cinema, because you look at some of their effects that they had in the 30s and you wonder how did they pull that off with,
yeah,
no computers.
Yeah.
Very, very good artistry.
Very, very clever. Back in the days where some of your effects and stuff were done by painting the actual film frames, and then copying those. Insane. I hope it's good, whatever comes of it. Like I said, I'm down to see all sorts of monster films get made. I just don't need them connected, so that's why I'm with Manny on thinking whatever this is, even if it's got the name Dracula in it, it won't necessarily be Nick Cage's version, which is absolutely fine. I'm only upset at disconnected stories within a shared universe, not upset at something that's not a shared universe to begin with. So, yeah, there's that. What do you want to talk about, Manny? Do you have something on your mind? If not, I got two options for you.
Yeah, I was really curious. Sure. I was upset that we didn't get to talk about it yesterday. But specifically,
yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's fine. Like, it happens. It happens. But the reason why is because I was really curious with the announcements of Max.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the three tier plans, and being that you're a stickler really for quality, mm-hmm, and for things like that, which is why you're always like a physical media over, mm-hmm, everything and, yeah, blah blah blah. I was wondering what you thought of their separation between like a supposed 1080p resolution and then their Max Ultimate for $20, which they say is 4K UHD, Dolby Atmos sound quality, versus their 5.1 quality on the other two tiers.
Just so,
because I'm like, what I wanted to ask you, is that misleading because it also depends on your internet,
yes,
and your setup?
Yes, 110%. So here's the dirty little secret about audio quality. Now, I don't know how Max separates its streams specifically. I do know that audio is the like first one to start cutting out because human hearing is so easily I don't want to say distorted, but clouded. Like, there's so much going on around us. Even if you're sitting in a room with nothing but the sound from the movie or show on, your hearing is still... It drops in quality are a lot harder to perceive audibly than they are visually. So,
right.
I really don't think the average person, the average person can tell the difference between the top tier streaming audio and say just good, solid, hey, that sounds fine, streaming audio. Now on the visual side, very much dependent on your home internet setup. And not only that, but dependent on the bit stream allowed by the client that you're using, desktop app, TV app, browser, your personal computer, your ISP, all of that is going to play into it. And most people will not be able to tell the difference between Netflix 4K, because it's not going to be true 4K. It's compressed bitrate issues, your own internet speed situations, all of that go into play. Most people won't tell the difference between the 1080 and the 4K, especially if your TV offers a little bit of AI upscaling, which a lot of modern TVs do. Don't pay for 4K. The only thing that sucks about the difference between the max ad free and the max ultimate that I wish were the same as the number of concurrent streams. For the longest time, the average American household's been 3-point-some-odd people, rounded up to 4, usually a couple and their 2 kids. So having just 2 and 4, and especially considering the $4 difference between ad-free and ultimate ad-free, man, maybe it should have been like 2, 3, and 4. Because usually couples will watch something together while one or two kids watch their own shit, you know. That's mm-hmm. at least that's how it was back in the days of cable and satellite when I was a kid. But even, you know, me and my wife, there will be three streams at one time potentially. We Lucas, her and I are never all watching one app but three different shows. But when you have older kids, you know, that matters. So that to me is one that I kind of dislike. But honestly, guys, max ad free. Honestly, if you're not just a stickler and you can actually tell the slight differences, even with compression and internet limitations, if you're not one of those few, just stick with the mid tier, the $15.99. Most of you are not going to be able to tell the difference, honestly. And then think about whether or not you really need 4 concurrent streams.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't I say they were just going to call it Max once? No, I think I said Discovery Max.
That would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Either, like, yeah, but...
I was surprised it's not Max Plus, though.
Yeah, I was sitting there and I was like, wait a minute. Why would I... it's like, you can offer it, but there's so many other things that need to be going right in your house in order for you to supposedly enjoy that setting. But I guess if you do buy it, is because you understand it and you do have the... And you're kind of like Kyle, which is fine, because if you want the best quality for things, then obviously little things like this matter. Mm-hmm. But you know, it honestly, we already have like HBO Max now, because we watched Succession, we watched The Last of Us, we watched Game of Thrones. I mean, they do put out, HBO really puts out really good quality stuff as far as TV that we like to watch. I mean, Brittany watches Euphoria also. I'm going to get started on White Lotus to catch up on that. Mm-hmm. I'm currently finishing up Titans. So Now adding that Discovery Plus catalog actually makes it even better for us because we like those Discovery shows, and we like the Travel Channel shows. Hell, my daughter's such a huge fan of Ghost Adventures and shows like that, that the value in that is actually, it actually makes it better because we're paying the same thing now for two streaming services.
Yeah.
It's cool.
This is one of those mergers where this particular aspect of Discovery Channel's stuff and HBO Warner stuff coming together, really, it wasn't the same as Disney becoming the, you know, big guys for Hulu and their own, you know, it wasn't the same as Fox and Disney or if Sony went somewhere. It's a little different because of how niche Discovery Network stuff really is, you know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that their audience is small in any way. I just, it's a large, dedicated, but very, very dedicated, and if you're not into it, you're not into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That type of niche audience. While Warner, HBO, Time, all of that stuff was mostly scripted entertainment with some mm-hmm. documentaries and a few shows like a Real Time with Bill Maher or something like that. So I think this is I'm really excited about seeing how it feels without having to bounce between the two, because I'm one of those niche people for the food stuff. He loves me some Food Network and cooking channel. So having all that on one, and it's always been one of those things that I've always really had an issue with in the era of streaming, is a first world problem here, guys. It takes too long to switch apps to go and find, you know, when you search Netflix and you don't find anything, and now you want to go to search Hulu, it takes too long. I grew up where checking channels was as easy as just hitting the upper or down button, right? And then the guide channel was really great. Yeah, it was slow waiting to get to, you know, the channels you were waiting for, but the internet eventually did come around in 93-94 to help out with that. So I'm used to even faster channel changing than you guys are these days, and it's like I said, first world issue, but this will solve that for two services for us.
They're actually merging it together. It's not like, hey, you could get it as a bundle now, and then we're actually gonna when we talk about the numbers, we're gonna act like it's one service.
Yeah. They are keeping Discovery available as a separate app for the foreseeable future. They will be not adding any new, or not, I won't say any, but they won't be adding as much new stuff, if any, to Discovery, where they'll be advertising, hey, if you go to Max, you get all of what you have now plus some.
Because a lot of the things will be now Max originals and things
exactly
like that.
So Funimation and Crunchyroll, and I don't know why the complete merger, because there's still things that are not on, like the best season of freaking Scientific Railgun. Certain Scientific Railgun is the English dub, which I like, is only on Funimation for the second season, the best season. The rest of it is over on Crunchyroll now. Which is just confusing, but yeah, here they're adding, they're going to try to get them to all go over there. I don't know how long it'll take, because that's the point I was trying to make when I got kind of sidetracked with the title. I don't know how long it will take for Discovery to truly disappear, because here we are a couple of years after the Funimation and Crunchyroll merger, and Funimation still exists. It doesn't get anything new put on it, that I can tell, but everything that was there is still there, and some of it hasn't been migrated over. So we'll see. I don't know, but it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, I can't be mad about it. I love Sony's partnership really with Netflix, because if it's in, you know, it feels like classic, we'll buy this off of you, we're gonna rent it, like streaming services used to do with everyone.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they're keeping that model going, because a lot of that Sony stuff ends up on Netflix.
Cool. You I'm gonna so let me write this timestamp down here. Me and Christine and I watched a anime over the last 2 days, yesterday and the day before, because it was an hour and a half first episode. It was a little movie, and it's got a real sad twist at the end of it, and I had, unfortunately, in researching the show, and by researching I mean I'm looking up, you know, I'm looking for like a plot synopsis, when is it coming out, because we are generally anime only, which means we don't read a whole bunch of manga. We don't know what's going to happen, and we try to remain spoiler free. Anyways, I got spoiled on a detail, and it was a pretty big one, but I'm still happy it took place in this little mini movie. That being said, it's sad. It's really sad, and it's wonderfully executed. It's beautifully animated. It's beautifully scored. The writing, I do have one nitpicky thing with it, and that someone's bleeding out and is having a very, very long conversation.
Yes.
Which I get what they're trying to do. So it's 100% forgivable, but it is something that's just kind of glaring at you. And we watch it, and Christine was totally shocked at what happened, because she didn't know. And I was just really pleased at how well it was done, and how sad it was. But we didn't cry, Manny. We didn't cry. And I was talking a little bit during some parts of it, because I was kind of like relating to certain aspects of it and just kind of thinking out loud, you know, maybe even a little bit of coping, because it was sad, you know. And it's like, damn, man, I thought maybe I'd get to spend some more time in this, you know, in this particular situation. But people seem to be upset that we didn't cry, and it kind of led me down the path of those that seek out emotional abuse via entertainment, via shows, reactions, whatnot. I don't know, man. It takes specific things to make me actually cry. You know, we even said in the thing, because could already tell someone was going to be upset that we didn't cry. That if it had been a little different, we'll say. I'm trying not to spoil anything for anyone that hasn't seen it, because it is a very touching anime, and very very intense. If it had been slightly different, we probably would have cried. Certain things kind of touch people differently. Maybe if you're a parent versus if you're not a parent, maybe serving in the military versus not, you know. I don't know, man. What are you an easy crier? Like, do generally sad situations, like if a character loses their dad in a show, does that bug you? And that's not necessarily is or isn't what happened in this particular show, but I mean, Janet cries at anything. What about you?
I work in the news, man. Do you know how many things I see daily?
Thank you. Thank you.
But I will say that,
because I think that's what matters, is exposure to real world tragedy and stress. I think Christine and I, given our military background, both with our fathers having been to combat, myself been to combat, I think that plays into our like threshold for what's worth getting worked up over, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, for example, of course, a couple of things were blurred, but I saw the body cam footage and bystander footage of the shooting that just happened in Kentucky.
Mm.
2 days ago, I saw the raw footage of a lady getting hit by a tow truck that ran a red light, and she passed away. Like, that's and I see
anything
these things.
Vehicles is awful.
And I see these things daily. The emails that come in, I mean, just they're awful. For example, I just hate to kind of bring it down more, but like, for example, one that I was just looking at a few minutes ago was about somebody who got arrested for child abuse. Oof. I mean, it's like the child abuse ones are like daily. So after a while, you need to develop some sort of callus for things like that, or else you're never going to survive the industry. It's okay to feel things, and you need to, because you need to keep that humanity, but it's a lot harder to kind of get you. But what I will say, though, it just depends also if I am allowing myself to take that roller coaster ride. The same way that I allow myself to be suspended in disbelief in a horror film.
Yeah.
So if I want to feel vulnerable with the project and everything and just kind of let the story take me, then fine. Then yeah, maybe I will. But it's not as much these days because of my day job. I will say that I do get emotional sometimes when I see like my daughter getting emotional at scenes and things like that. It's just nice to watch her feel. But definitely not nearly as much as her. But yeah, if I'm going to tell you that there's something specific that gets me, not these things. Unfortunately.
Things with kids usually will definitely, anytime kids are hurting or have, you know, whether that's physical, emotional, sadness, like that type of thing, because we are parents. You know, but there's a lot of things that, yeah, it's sad, but just because you don't see waterworks doesn't necessarily mean that we're not sad, that we're not like, oh man, that, you know, people just handle it differently. The one positive about it, though, is that it's proof you're not gonna ever get any kind of fake reactions from Christine, Brian, or myself, because we're just not in it for that. We're actually in it to just like talk about what we're watching. But anyways, that's gonna have to wrap it up. I gotta get set up for Breaking Geek Radio. They were supposed to review Renfield, but Janet got sick and Nick had to work, and therefore only one person potentially saw the film, and I don't even know if Jonesy actually made it to see it. But hey, check out Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Anyways, here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, look right there. There's their Mario review from last week. Lots of anime content, as you can see, but we've also got Star Wars news and reviews on the Cantina, Daily Cog, of course, and Marvel Multiverse Mayhem pops up for Marvel projects for review. If it's not a reaction video, goes up on all your favorite podcast apps and the website lrmonline.com for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, written reviews, and more. Manny, anything else for the people until Monday?
Janet hopefully probably got sick because he kept saying that The Last Jedi was
good. He watched The Last Jedi one too many times. He got movie
finally
poisoning.
Got him. Finally got him.
Bye, guys.
See?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.